Disclaimer. This episode is without prejudice and delves into the persistent issues of HIV/AIDS discrimination, a topic I have extensively covered for a number of years across these platforms due to its profound public interest. The information presented is drawn from publicly available records of an official employment tribunal hearing where workplace discrimination cases are openly examined in public by a judge. This ongoing concern is closely linked to recent campaigns I have supported, including an official UK government petition aimed at improving HIV information and education in response to HIV discrimination. By sharing these verified legal accounts, the intention is to shed light on the continuing injustices faced by those, including myself, living with HIV/AIDS, and to emphasise the urgent need for sustained advocacy, legal challenges and workplace reforms to comply with existing laws and protections and HIV/AIDS as a legal disability. There is no financial gain from sharing this insight or this episode, and these channels are aligned with my work around HIV/AIDS discrimination, and collectively I share such with a view it is in the public interest and based on my basic legal and human rights to share and impart such information.
AIDS brings a response from the government.
AIDS, the disease which claims life.
Welcome to AIDS Lost Voices with me, William Hampson. In this series, we journey through the decades to explore how Britain reported on the AIDS pandemic. We'll delve into the newspaper archives from the 80s, 90s and noughties, unearthing individual stories that reveal the human experiences behind the headlines. Join me as we seek to understand the complexities of a crisis that reshaped lives and challenged societal perceptions. Ready? Let's go. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, gosh, at the moment, I'm a free man. I've been freed, and you'll probably get to learn why when I share in a moment. But I must first start by sincerely apologising for the disruption in the publication of the podcast episodes over the past couple of months and express my heartfelt gratitude for your patience during this time. I am aware that some listeners have dropped off the download list, and I deeply regret any disappointment that this may have caused. It is my hope that we can rebuild trust not only in my commitment, but also in the important stories of the many men, women and children whose voices I strive to share through AIDS the Lost Voices. These narratives are vital, and I remain dedicated to honouring their experiences with the respect and attention that they truly deserve. And this is perhaps testament to why HIV/AIDS discrimination in the workplace doesn't just affect the person or persons on the receiving end of that discrimination. In my case, where my work and private life are entirely separate and where this podcast series exists as an extension of something I do in my own time, outside work, but in a very public way, the impact has been profound. For the last 7 months, I have endured a relentless campaign of HIV discrimination, harassment, victimisation and bullying at work, and it has been nothing short of hell. However, the repercussions extend beyond me alone. The time and energy I have had to devote to raising concerns, making court applications and defending myself have inevitably affected you, the listeners, and those who themselves face the same HIV/AIDS stigma, discrimination and isolation by preventing me and or delaying me from working on podcast episodes. In most, if not all cases, these individuals have since passed away, either fighting for their right to be treated humanely or, sadly, with no choice but to die in silence. This really underscores the urgent need for greater awareness, support and action against workplace HIV discrimination connected to HIV and AIDS, and this is why I am about to document and share my experiences with you on this podcast. Now, it should never be the case, but it is well known amongst us that those who raise concerns in the workplace, as I did, frequently become targets themselves. They find themselves caught up in disciplinary procedures designed to isolate and push them out, simply for being perceived as a troublemaker. I was no exception, because in January 2025, I had cause to submit a claim to the Employment Tribunal for HIV discrimination against my employer. Following this, I was subjected to an unfounded and baseless disciplinary process, which wasn't a surprise, which culminated in my dismissal on Wednesday, the 25th of June, 2025. Those advising me are confident, as am I, that this action was taken in retaliation for my protected act of making a legal claim to the Employment Tribunal for HIV/AIDS discrimination. And, almost simultaneously, the Employment Tribunal judge set a date for my claim to be heard at a three-day public hearing on the, get your pens and pencils out, get this in your diary, 2nd, 3rd and 4th of December 2026. Now, as this is a public hearing and the date and details of the parties involved are public information and will be publicly available, I can confirm that I am the claimant in the case William Hampson versus Griffin Catering Services Limited. Now, Griffin Catering Services Limited is the company that trades as Fuller's Smith and Turner, known for operating Fuller's pubs and hotels all over the United Kingdom. Now, my place of work, where I was subject to such horrendous conditions in regards to my HIV/AIDS status, was the Barrowboy and Banker at London Bridge. Naturally, I am unable to discuss the specifics of my claim, but what I can share is that although it was never my intention and it saddens me greatly that we find ourselves in this position, my experience of HIV/AIDS discrimination must be told alongside those that I have covered in my previous podcast episodes on AIDS The Lost Voices. Living and working with HIV/AIDS in 2025 remains eerily reminiscent, especially in this circumstance, of 1985. Nothing has truly changed, and attitudes persist in the same archaic and unfortunately discriminatory patterns. I feel compelled to raise the alarm that HIV/AIDS discrimination in the workplace still very much exists. Fuller's Pubs, unlike many of their competitors that I have worked for, put me in the distressing position of having to disclose my HIV/AIDS status merely to ensure that they observed Section 20 of the Equality Act 2010, an observation that ultimately they ignored. This stark reality highlights that despite decades of progress in awareness and legislation, stigma and prejudice are still alive and well in workplace environments such as this. And in sharing my experience, I have already prepared 6 one-hour episodes scheduled for recording in the coming weeks, which will reveal some of the bizarre activities that I witnessed and experienced along with the discrimination itself. While not all of these incidents will feature in my legal claim, they provide a candid glimpse into the troubling environment at that pub. Colleagues and managers were frequently involved in bringing, dealing, consuming and partaking in drugs on licensed premises. There was also numerous instances of passing off alcohol, theft of both cash and stock. One particularly harrowing memory that a colleague and I are desperate to erase is a manager fellating a member of the kitchen staff on an inflatable bed in the staff room and having to rush to the aid of one colleague who tried to end their life owing to this toxic atmosphere. A stark illustration of the chaos and misconduct that permeated this workplace. Of course, these episodes cannot air while the legal action is still ongoing. However, these episodes will be uploaded and scheduled for publication following the tribunal hearing. As I recently shared, my then employers caused me to suffer 2 transient ischemic attacks, TIAs or known as mini strokes, and a minor heart attack as a result of being subjected to their continued behaviour. By uploading and scheduling these episodes in advance, I aim to ensure that, should I be subjected to similar harm again, and in the worst case, if it proves fatal, my experiences will not go unheard. It is likely that Griffin Catering Services would prefer I succumb to AIDS-related complications before the hearing, thereby preventing their misconduct from being brought to light. Well, I've got that covered because even in death, my voice will be heard. And in seeking advice on going public with the hearing date so early, I was cautioned that this might limit the potential for negotiation of an out-of-court settlement to end the claim. I responded firmly that, quote, my HIV discrimination is not for sale, end quote, recognising that such settlements almost always come with a gagging order. It would be a profound hypocrisy for me, having covered Todd Shuttleworth's battle against AIDS-related workplace discrimination in the 1980s on a podcast episode, to now remain silent myself. Likewise, figures such as Andrew Peters, Michael Buck and Andrew Fay and David Morgan, who were covered in an episode also, were all courageous in taking their concerns to the court at a time when legal protections were sparse or non-existent. I must follow in their footsteps, challenging this grave discrimination that has severely impacted my life and exacerbated the internal stigma faced daily by those of us who live with HIV/AIDS. Our internal HIV stigma is often contained by us remaining silent. Tell no one, then we won't be treated like a leper. Although in this instance, my silence was forcibly stripped away, along with my dignity, contributing to the real fret of despair and thoughts of ending one's own life when your employer refuses to allow you to return to work and instead hires new people to stop you spreading the gay plague. So, this is, as they say, to be continued. And in the interest of fairness, although the full details of Fuller's, Tradeneo's Griffin Catering Services Limited, response to the Employment Tribunal claim cannot be disclosed in full, it is important to note that they categorically deny the allegations made against them